Happy Advent, everybody.
Happy Advent.
Or Merry Advent, take your pick. It is Advent. There's the proof of it. We're starting. It's begun. And it's going on for a while. Because to say Happy Advent isn't to say happy today. It's to say happy the next four Sundays and whatever pieces of 4 weeks are included. Because Advent is a season. It's like Christmas. Christmas isn't just one day either. Christmas is 12 days. The 12 days between Christmas and Epiphany all get included in the Christmas season. So when we say Merry Christmas, we mean we hope you're happy during the whole 12 days and that all of it goes well. So if I say, as we're not particularly used to saying, Happy Advent, I'm saying, I hope the whole 4 weeks go well. And what does it mean for them to go well? And what happens during Advent? Advent, when we talk about the coming of Jesus. Well, for one thing, Advent is a time of excitement. It's a time of the excitement and the joy of what's coming. Christmas coming. It's just bubbling over. And it increases the whole time. And we're aware of that not just in church, but we're aware of it throughout the society we live in, because the decorations go up and the music starts and the bustle starts and shopping starts and all that stuff goes on. And we can't get away from it. We can't repress it. We can't ignore it. And it's easy enough to get swallowed up in it if we don't remember what Advent is for. It's Advent preparation for Christmas. It's Advent planning, Advent looking forward. Advent is about looking forward. But the whole society is looking forward too. Not just church people, but people in this society can't help but look forward to Christmas in some way, because it's so infused the whole society, the whole community. A good thing that happens during Advent in many places, I'm sure it does in Aniston as well, is that people become a little bit more aware of other people's needs. Well, it's Christmas. I ought to be thinking not just about myself. I ought to be thinking about people who have less than I do. I ought to be thinking about how I can share something of what I have with those who have less. Now, it's a pity that doesn't last all year. But at least it lasts for a season. So during the season, we look for ways to help others. And if we're wise, we look for ways to make that last through the year. Hungry people aren't just hungry at Thanksgiving and Christmas. People without homes aren't just homeless in the wintertime, let's hope. People who are lonely aren't just lonely at Christmas. But Christmas can heighten the sense of people's loneliness. Sometimes people feel lonelier at holiday times than at any other, because people remember family members and friends who aren't there anymore. People remember those who've died. We start doing that at the beginning of November with All Saints Day and the remembrance of all the faithful departed. And we think specially about those who are not here anymore. And at Christmas time, during Advent, we ought also to be thinking about those who are left. Those who are left, bereft. People who are missing other people. People who are lonely, people who are poor, people who are troubled one way or another, people who are in conflict in their own families and dread Christmas. Advent doesn't mean the same thing to them that it does to those who look forward to a joyful time with their families. But Advent is still looking forward to Christmas, whatever it holds. Advent involves doing some things we do every year, like this, like Advent wreaths and Advent calendars, like the preparations we do for Christmas of all kinds, the things that in our families happen once a year, the trips that are planned, the foods that are eaten, the church services that we go to, the different patterns we adopt because it's this special season. That's Advent. That's Advent. We look forward to the holiday and we ask, what will it be like this year? What will it be like this year? Will it be better than last year? Can we keep from doing what we did last year? Doesn't it get any better? Can we avoid what we did last year? Can't we go back to when it was better, to when we were happy, to when we didn't have these troubles? If Advent is just a time to watch for the stuff that we did last year and the year before and the year before, if Advent is just a time to do the old stuff, then we miss the point. Because Advent is about something new. And the watching and the waiting are for something new. Not just the old stuff to come around again, but for something new. Some of you have read stuff by Henry Nouwen, I expect. Some of you know that writer. Just a little bit from Henry Nouwen about Advent. We can only really wait if what we are waiting for has already begun in us. So waiting is never a movement from nothing to something. It's always a movement from something to something more. Advent is about something more. It's about something new. Moving from where we are into something we don't know yet, into something we can't even imagine. We're waiting and watching for we don't know what. Except that what we're waiting and watching for is the one who came at Christmas. Is the one who came as a baby in a manger, is the one who came to be king. We talked about that last Sunday. Christ the King, we said. And we sang about Christ the King coming in the first hymn this morning. The King, the real King, not Caesar, not the Roman Emperor. A better king even than David. And you don't get better than David in Israel's history. Jesus is a different kind of king. Jesus was talking with Pilate in last Sunday's gospel. And Pilate says, "You're king or not?" Well, Jesus says, "You say so." But he says, "My kingdom is not of this world." And Pilate says, "Oh, then you are a king, aren't you? You admit it." And Jesus says, "Not your kind. Not your kind of king. That's not what I do." Because Jesus is a king who dies for his people. Jesus is a king who doesn't lord it over anybody. And Jesus is a king who invites everybody. Everybody is welcome in this kingdom, even the tax collectors and sinners. even us. So we've got four Sundays, four candles, to think about what we're going to learn, what's going to be revealed to us this Advent. What do we hope for? What are we going to repent of? And then what are we going to live for? Not just at Christmas time, but the rest of the year. Advent is not unlike Lent in this respect. I don't mean so much that Christmas and Easter are the same thing. They aren't. But they are two pivot points in a cycle. Two foci in an ellipse. Two points at which the year comes to a climax. Two points at which the whole society takes notice in some way or other, not just the church. Even if Easter is about fancy clothes and ham, it's still different. The society still takes notice in some way or other as a time of celebration, and Christmas as a time of joy. And in both cases, it's because those seasons are embedded in the world we live in. At Easter, we've got little chicks and eggs because we're thinking about new growth. It's when things begin to grow again, and we're glad about that. It gives us some hope because there's going to be food for the coming year if we live close to the earth. And at Christmas time, we've been thinking about how little light there is, how little daylight there is. And we light candles earlier and earlier each day because evening comes earlier and earlier. But by the time we get to Christmas, the days are getting longer again. And by the time we get to Epiphany, we're ready for a festival of lights. This is embedded deeply within us, within us all. Ask people who live in the far north who don't get any light at all during the winter. But they know, come Christmas, they know that it's turned, that they're beginning, just beginning, to get the slightest bit of light. It's more graphic to them, but it's true for all of us. And at Easter time, people beginning to hope for new growth. This is all Northern Hemisphere talk, I realize. But it's where our images come from. It's where our images come from. And where our church stuff comes from this time of year. So what we're headed for, beginning today, is a season that's going to have its climax when the next season starts. And that's going to be the Sunday after Epiphany when Jesus gets baptized. We're going to hear about John the Baptist next Sunday and the Sunday after that. But Jesus isn't going to get baptized until the Sunday after Epiphany. And that's going to be when Jesus starts his ministry, which means his road to Good Friday and Easter. So what we're thinking about as we watch and wait for Advent is what Jesus does at his baptism. When Jesus says to John the Baptist, yes, I want to be baptized by you. I need to be baptized by you. And John says, why? This baptism is washing people's sins. This is about people who are repenting of their sins. It's not who you are. Jesus says, I am one of this people. I am a real, honest-to-God human being. I was born, after all. Born as a little baby. And I got bigger. And I became part of this people, Israel, part of God's people. And I celebrate that. And I identify with these people. And I am a real person. So you get me wet too. That's where we're headed. But we start there. We start there with this watching and waiting for Jesus' birth. The fourth Sunday in Advent, we're going to get the promise of God. The promise of God to Mary and Joseph. The promise of God of the birth of a child. Birth of a child. Birth of a child is a great promise. But it can be a great threat. It can be really, really apprehensive making. It's fearful, especially if it's your first. Especially if you're not really sure how to do all this, especially if you're by yourself and haven't gotten help, especially if you don't even have a husband around. Birth's a great threat. So is life. And repentance and hope and learning. The issue for us is how to turn that threat in hope. Threat and hope are two sides of the same coin, because both have to do with what's coming, with expecting, with what we're looking forward to. Are we looking forward with hope of what can come out of this to our good, or just what we fear? Do we fear messing it up because we messed up so much? Or do we look forward to another shot? Christmas is a new start. Christmas promises a kind of do-over, like Easter in that respect. And Advent is a time to think about that and plan for it and to learn where we might start to do over. The watching and the waiting has to do with how we look at other people. And if we don't watch for it, we may miss it. You remember Phil Rizzuto, the great shortstop for the New York Yankees back in the 40s and 50s. Phil Rizzuto became the Yankees' radio announcer as well. And, of course, the radio announcers all keep score as they go. And Rizzuto's score sheet looked like everybody else's, except that every so often there'd be a notation, WW. Somebody asked him, what does it mean, Phil? He said, it means I wasn't watching. Well, if you aren't watching, you miss a lot. You miss a lot. And there's a lot to miss because God isn't through being God. God isn't through with us being God's people. That means there's still stuff to learn. I recently read a book by a man who teaches biology at the University of the South, where I also teach. David Haskell is a biologist who decided that one year, 2011, in fact, he would take 1 square meter of forest and watch it. He'd come every week, at least once, and just sit or lie on his belly and watch what happened in that 1 square meter of woods. And there were plants in there, and there were little creatures in there. Sometimes it was water in there, and sometimes it was a golf ball somebody had thrown in there, or an old can. What was happening? He took a hand lens with him, so he could look more closely at the stuff he'd miss on the ones. And he taught himself to look He taught himself to look in ways that he hadn't looked before. And he taught himself to look over time. For a whole year, he was coming back to that same square saying, what's happening here? Not just what is, but what's going on? What's growing? What's dying? How's it different? How's it the same? Who's getting an opportunity in here for something to eat? Who's getting denied anything to eat? But if you don't look, you don't see. If we can learn to look more fully, to look with more attention, then we begin to be in here, to be doing this Advent thing that isn't just getting out the same old boxes and pulling out the same old stuff and doing the same old thing. So what's coming? We don't know what's coming. We don't get to know what. We just get to know that. Because we might meet somebody this Advent we haven't met before. Or we might see somebody we've known for years who has troubles we didn't know anything about because we weren't watching. We weren't listening. We might see a friend who hasn't been a friend for quite a long time because that friend has been alienated by something we did. Or something the friend did that we need to forgive and forget. What might come might be a book like David Hessel's book that opened my eyes to a different way of seeing. What might come might be a song that we hadn't heard before that gets to us in a new way. A hymn that we sing in here that we've never noticed the words of before. Or a picture we see. A tree. Anything at all that opens us up in a new way. Particularly a new way to somebody else. When we look at somebody that we have disregarded and say, that's a person too. That's a real person. That person needs something to eat. That person needs some understanding. That person needs a job. That person needs respect and isn't getting it. And that could start with me this Advent. To do better about that. Not just to do the same old thing, but to do better about that. It could be better this year. Because I might learn something. I might learn to watch. I might learn to watch enough that it would make a difference after Advent's over, after Christmas is over. You know, in the long, long, long stretches of the rest of the year, we can watch then too. Because what God is doing isn't limited to Advent. But we'll miss it whenever it happens if we aren't watching. So, be on guard, the gospel says. Be alert at all times. That's what Jesus said a long, long time ago. That's what Jesus is still saying. And that's why we do that. That's why we do it. So happy Advent.